I would like to introduce our next speaker, Dr. Lynn Agger. She earned an MPH from UMDNG and a PhD from Rutgers University. She served as a center manager for an applied mathematics unit at the Rutgers Center for Operation Research and is also a part-time lecturer in statistics and health and welfare policy. Her current research includes the interaction between behavior and disease and how underlying mechanisms like depression predispose person to later life disability and the role of economies in health, behavior, and disease. Her talk today will be on revisiting the link between self-regulation, risk proneness, and sexual behavior with application of data weights.
Hello, good afternoon, everyone. How are you today? Thank you very much for the introduction. This is work that I started with my PhD advisor. It's a data weighting procedure that's never been done with data, analyst-wide data. This is mandatory. I don't have any financial obligations to anybody. My research is supported by myself 100% at this point. So in a recent study published in actually Journal of Research on Adolescents, Crockett, Raffaelli, and Shen examined the link between self-regulation, that's behavioral problems in mid-childhood, risk proneness, which is called sensation-seeking, and peer pressure in early adolescence and health risk behavior, alcohol use and sexual risk-taking, in middle adolescents drawing from a sample of the National Longitudinal Survey on Youth. Their structural equation model revealed that behavioral problems in early childhood predispose youth and mid-adolescents to perceive themselves as engaging in higher sensation-seeking, which they assessed in 1994, and which leads to deleterious health behaviors outcomes in 1998. And though their research substantiated the relationship among these underlying mechanisms longitudinally, their computations didn't include data weighting. And they had no differences between racial and ethnic groups either. So in order to control for oversampling of underrepresented minorities, or overrepresented minorities, their studies replicated in this paper, and I used SPSS in conjunction with AMIS. So what I came up with in the preliminary results, this is very preliminary, I'm still running a lot, that when you apply the data weighting procedure, you're going to see some different results and paths, which was true in my own analysis for my dissertation. Did I go back? So our questions are, does self-rated risk proneness predict risky behavior in longitudinal path analysis? Does self-rated risk proneness mediate the effects of health behavior, inputs on health behaviors over time? And how does risk proneness mediate the role of cognition and health and causal direction of presage intention, meaning risk proneness when you're using weighted versus non-weighted? This is a background slide on the NLSY. If you don't know it, it's been collected since 1979 by the Ohio State University. In 1986, they added assessments for children, and in 1994, they started assessing those children who had aged 15. And it's most of it self-administered, including a lot of the behavioral health components, CESD, for example, Center for Epidemiological Studies of Depression. There are raw weights provided with the data. However, they're not transformed. And so these references that you see in the bullet points there refer to literature about what to do with raw weights. Hansvo and Lomax, McCurdy, Miraz, and Gritz, and then Rubin actually in 1983 introduced a post-stratification procedure taught to me by the people at RUCCORP. That's why I incorporated it into my thesis and into this work. So I'd like to give RUCCORP some credit. Now, what happens when you don't weight your data? This is very key. First of all, you can introduce heteroscedasticity. That's different variances among the variables. So you want to look at the standard errors when you're performing the analyses. When you have oversampling or undersampling, you want to use denying weights in the calculation of the covariance matrices in multi-level and structural equation modeling. That's recommended by Stapleton in 2002, her paper, and she published again in 2006. And Haas, Vaughn, and Lomax, they happen to be economists. They also talk about ignoring weights leads to serious bias in parameter estimates with the underestimation of standard errors. which is what we're trying to control for. This is just a little nice little map of the U.S. Showing you that the NLSY is a national sample. However, the primary sampling unit is by household. Furthermore, it's a probabilistic sampling procedure. It's done in clusters by the most highly populated states. So right there, you've got to employ some kind of post-design strategy. This is their original model. The self-regulation measured in 86, the risk proneness in 94, and then the outcomes in 98. And this is the weighting method, which I'm describing here in great length, and I won't go into it too long. It's the little proof included, but essentially, we can get to skip the mathematical portions of it and give that to you. But when you do it in SPS, what you're going to do is take the normalized weight. Now, by the way, every 2 years, it's biennial, the weights were calculated differently up until 2000. Then they instituted a different procedure. So they vary by year. So if you're going to do longitudinal analysis, you've got, the way I would do it, you apply the weight from the first cohort and continue through. So the normalized weight, you take the, YAWs, the young adult weight, you multiply it by the sample size of your group that you abstracted, you pulled out of your, cohort there, and you divide it by the sum of the raw weights. And that'll give you a decimal. And you're going to apply that in SPSS, you would turn it on. What does that mean? You're changing the contribution of the variance in that equation, whatever it is. And remember, all of these methods are really correlational. They're not truly causal. So you're changing the value of that coefficient. That's exactly what you're doing. Okay, and that's just another little small example. You've got four cases. Those are your original weights, and this is just theoretical. And there's what you get mathematically, but you end up summing up to four. Okay, this is their results. They did male and female. That's why you see two sets of coefficients there. And they didn't get a pathway between self-regulation and negative peer pressure. It was not significant, but the others are. And then, of course, they controlled for the socio-demographics in the the latter part of the SEM model. So the differences in at least overall fit indices, at least in the beginning, the non-weighted LSY data, you can see it's different than the weighted data. Now remember, we're applying the weights, so we're changing some of these goodness of fit measures. Though they're close, there's still some differences. The interesting part would be to test the significance between them. Okay, so here's some of the pathways. These are total effects. The self-regulation going through risk proneness has a different coefficient from the non-weighted versus the weighted. And you'd see the weighted increases slightly. So some of the limitations of the NLSY when you're working with any kind of secondary data, remember the measures are all self-rated and they're subject to the youth's respondent to assess his or her own behavior. Again, primary sampling unit is by household. And most of the survey is self-administered, so they may underrate or overrate. Their perception of environment may be enhanced by their commitment to the study, since there are siblings in here. And again, the weights are very inconsistent in multiple waves. So a different calculated raw weight was introduced in the 2000 cohort. You absolutely positively need a post-stratification procedure, which we have not seen in the literature with the NLSY. It's, again, that's Stapleton 2006. You can see the differences, or at least preliminarily see the differences. It's, of course, critical when you're even doing primary data collection. This is what you call the secondary data. Remember, these are data that you're getting from another, not your own source, but through a large sampling procedure. And even when you're doing primary data collection, you may oversample certain groups. Obviously, they did it on a primary level. So you have to be concerned here with generalizability and replicability, reliability. That's why you need to institute a post-stratification procedure, as it's called, to adjust for the study design. And we also want to be sure that we're representing the U.S. population when we're talking about our findings. That's the other issue. Okay. So to date, I have not found any published literature that documents this weighting technique applied to the MSY. Again, the raw weights need to be modified before they're implemented in multivariate analysis. Some you'll see in the literature, there's another paper which I'm hoping to also replicate by Pachter et al. In pediatrics, and they claim they used the weights, they turned it on, and they're whatever they did, but it didn't adjust because you need to use this algebraic formula. As introduced by Owen Schoen and later applied. And again, in primary data, when we're trying to look at certain effects, and we are purposive, let's say, in even what we're the group that we're sampling, we want, again, to think about validity, external validity, generalizability, and replicability. And of course, in order to determine policy initiatives and objectives with respect to any kind of recommendations, you need to make sure your sample is normalized against your population. It's critical. So on a substantive level, we know that the weighted SEM shows that risk proneness does directly impact sexual risk-taking in the later cohorts, and replicating the multi-wave model by introducing this technique to the LMSY ensures generalizability and replicability to other study populations. I thank you very much for your time.